episode because I got to drive the Tesla here.
Yes, and they have Tesla charging stations at this stop.
Let me tell you, this driving was really fun.
You want to tell everybody where we are?
Yeah, let me find it.
Oh my God.
Tobless Creek. We're at Tobless Creek. Okay. I always want to say I get all the T's mixed up.
Yeah. Turley.
Tobless. Tally. Tobless. Like.
Tolosa.
Yeah.
All right.
But we are at Tobless Creek with a Tesla charger.
We are at Tobless Creek. So, we have been here before.
Yes, just recently, in fact.
Yeah, we came probably about a month ago.
I think it was just like a fun wine tasting day.
It was. No. We did do some episode recordings, but this was not one of them. I think we
came here because they have a charger.
Yeah, we came here to charge my car. and also to check it out. Because I'd never been here. Had you ever been here before that?
Maybe years ago, but I don't remember being here.
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to check them out because they're one of the few wineries and vineyards that are certified organic and certified biodynamic.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah.
It's a tough certification, I understand.
Yeah. So we tasted through their normal flight last time we were here. I'm not quite sure what we're going to get today because I did make advanced reservations. Their tasting room is quite large, probably a little echoey, and we didn't want to have to like worry about the sound quality for recording episodes. So I believe we're doing like a smaller private tasting.
They have like rooms set aside for that.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing one of those.
Yeah. So we'll see what wines they pour for us today. But
yeah.
Really excited to bring you guys here.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to go check it out. And
we'll see you after.
We'll see you after.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. PRWCA posts, everyone posts their stuff on there.
Yeah. Cool.
Should be good. We'll have Mark Bryan in the 40-hour work week playing. Good local band.
Yeah.
We do cellar tours with the winemakers. And so they take them back there. Everybody gets to try lots, gets to try grapes as they're fermenting, ones that are pre-ferment, mid-ferment, post-ferment.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Do some
rotting
kind
through.
Of blending.
Absolutely. It's like the only time my husband can get me to eat something like past its expiration date.
It's just like
it looks a little bit brown and they're not eating. He's like, but you're gonna go like drink fruit that's literally just like
fermented.
Yeah, it's good. It's fine.
It's good. It works. On that note, wine. So welcome. You came in.
Yeah, it was like a Saturday. Was it a Saturday or a Sunday?
I think it was probably a Sunday.
It was a Sunday, but it was very busy.
Okay. Yeah, it was like packed out in here.
Which
we didn't
great.
Have reservations or anything. We just
popped
were.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturdays are nuts. Yeah. Sundays can be pretty nuts too.
Yeah.
And so you just did the estate tasting.
We did.
Saturday?
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Up to the bar.
Yes.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
What we have you set up here is our seated flight tasting. So this is something new that came out beginning of last year to try it out. We're seeing more and more in the industry that people want options in terms of their tastings.
Yeah.
And the belly to the bar system still definitely works, and a lot of people like it. We also have people that are like, well, we'd like to sit down, kind of have our own space, have the opportunity to go through a whole flight of wines. So we're like, all right, let's try it out. And it's working pretty well.
So is this like a call ahead, reservation only, or if someone walks in and is like, what options do you have? Is there a potential that they could do this, or definitely call ahead?
Definitely call ahead, reservation only. We did walk-ins for a little while there, and we just weren't, it was a little bit too complicated logistically, and so just having that set ahead of time is the best way to go about it.
Cool.
If a wine club member comes in and it's packed out there, then we'll definitely open this room up to them because it's always less packed.
Yeah. Nice.
So is there like a particular way that you want us to drink this?
Yes. So here's the key advantages to a seated flight versus an estate tasting. So the estate tasting, which you know, is you have one glass, you need to finish that glass before you can move on to the next wine. And a lot of times we get to glass number 5 and we're like, you know, I like glass number 1, but I don't remember why. In a seated flight, we're actually double pouring every single glass to encourage you to get enough to taste, but then leave some in the glass so that you can go all the way through the flight and then revisit as many times as you want.
Okay.
It's set up to go from left to right, and then on the menu, top to bottom, recommend starting with the whites. Seeing how they work one by one, that's really set up in a way that you can understand blends. So when this winery started, a tasting room, it's 2002, it was all about, for us, it was all about blends, because we're bringing in an old world style into new world winemaking, which in southern France, it's all about blends, because you get more complexity from the grapes. During that time period in California, it was all about single varieties. Single varietal wines, and we needed to kind of prove our point of why we do blends, and so we started doing single varietal bottlings as well of grapes like Roussanne, Picpoul, Grenache Blanc, grapes that also people hadn't had the chance to try on their own.
Yeah.
So then you could come into the tasting room, try them on their own, enjoy them that way, but then try them in a blend and see why we're focusing on those blends.
Yeah.
That complexity that comes through by putting those pieces together while at the same time educating.
Cool.
Consumer on single varietal wines and what they're like. And this white wine flight is set up exactly like that. You have Picpoul, you have Grenache Blanc, you have Roussanne, you have Marsanne, you have Viognier. And then at the end, you have a blend, our Esprit Blanc.
So now, all of your fruit is estate grown?
Yes.
Okay.
So everything on this table is estate grown. The exception is that rosé that you had coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's under Patillon. There's a Patillon white, red, and rosé. That those are all grapes that we're sourcing from other vineyards in Paso,
okay.
A lot of which are using our clippings. So,
but not necessarily organic.
Not necessarily organic.
But all of these are organic and biodynamic?
Correct.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
that's,
we're pretty
really,
excited
really cool.
About it. Yeah, sitting on 115 acres of certified biodynamic farm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're definitely seeing the difference. You're gonna see it too, like the wines that you're working with. So we started farming biodynamically about 8 years ago, and it was starting with one block at a time. And it was
it's just so easy to drink that stuff.
Yeah. And then once we started seeing the benefits, started expanding more and more. 2016 is the first vintage where the entire vineyard is certified biodynamic. So all the wines you're trying now are coming from that time period forward.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know, it seems like you guys are growing more unusual grapes than a lot of the other places. Like, it seems like we were, was it Pisser Terre? And, like, he's doing really unusual stuff, and a lot of the grapes were coming from you guys that, like, he was using for different things. And I was like, that's neat.
Yeah, the vines, specifically, so.
All of these whites, like, are not extra cold. Is that intentional? Like, have you picked the temperature that you like to serve them at, or just generally you want them a little on the warmer side?
I would say you want them on a warmer side than the more light-bodied white wines. The thing about Rhones is they tend to be in that kind of lower to mid to higher body white wine range. And with that extra viscosity, you kind of want it to breathe a little bit more, so it comes up to more of a room temperature. I definitely would serve it at room temperature. What you don't need it is chilled. It's like a New Zealand Sauv Blanc, for example.
Yeah.
Or a Pinot Gris falls under that.
And I don't feel like, it's not like I taste it and I'm like, man, I wish this was a little bit colder. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, no, it is. It's nice. But I didn't know, that's what I was wondering. Like,
yeah. I really like the weight of this one. Like how it felt, the texture of it.
I really liked both of those, too. This one is a little bit too, like, maybe floral is a good word, like a fancy word.
I
kind of feel like it's like, what's it like, potpourri?
Mm.
In
nose,
my mouth
or in your mouth? Okay.
Ooh, this is a Roussanne.
Yeah, so that would be the one outlier when I was talking about everything being 2016 and newer.
Oh, it's a 15.
Yeah, it's a 15. Something unique about Roussanne is it can age really well. Can go 15, 20 years. And,
really?
Yeah. And it,
ooh, that's delicious.
Changes in flavor profile is incredible either way. And yeah, you're getting to try that 15. You've got four
that's
years
really
of age
good.
On it.
So, like, how, do you want me to buy your white wines and take them home and age them? Or do you want me to take them home and drink them?
know. It depends on the variety. And even with the Roussan. So the Roussan is like the Marsan. They both can age really nicely, really well. But they change so much. You kind of got to figure out, do you like Roussan when it's in its youthful age and the fruit's really prevalent? Or do you prefer it when it's in its more mature stage? You get kind of more of those nutty characteristics. It's going to be based on how you like it. The thing is, they can all age well. I mean, recently, even Grenache Blanc, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about the fact that it can age, but it can. We had opened up a 2002 Grenache Blanc from here, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
It seems like either my knowledge has grown since we started doing this, or like the white wine mentality as a whole is kind of changing, where it's not like take it home and drink it now. Like, you can hold on to it. And I feel like before, it was like, and maybe I was just drinking, like, shitty wine before this. I was like, drink it now. But it seems like...
it's not gonna last.
It seems like now more and more places are like, no, you can hold on to it. Like, give it a couple years. It'll... And I don't know if it's like they're upping their white wine making game in this area, or if it's just me. I mean, I never do, because I get thirsty. All right. So, if I can find one old and buy it, I'm into it. But if I can't, then...
What is... When you smell that, what does it remind you of? There's something I can't put my finger on.
Reminds me of white wine. I don't know.
White wine grapes. Sorry. Pressure. I know. I was hoping that maybe...
I don't know.
You would be able to pick it out for me a little bit better.
Well, if it helps, you have a cheat sheet there in that leather-bound binder.
I'm like, aren't you our cheat sheet? Like, what are we smelling? Come on, man.
Open up to that that center page.
Oh.
Yeah, it gives you the varietal characteristics on all these Rhones, so maybe you'll be able to find what the Roussan is.
I feel like this is always cheating. Like, I'm like, I must challenge myself to pick it out. Can you hand me the glass again?
I think honeysuckle.
That's what I was going to guess that she was picking up on.
Because that's, like, a weird thing. Like, I don't think I've ever had honeysuckle. Like, honestly, I probably would be like, that's not real. That's a fake thing. That's just someone said that was a smell.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You never, like, pick the flowers?
I don't think so. Maybe when I was a kid. I don't know.
I used to love honeysuckle.
Is that, like, the one that you're supposed to, like, chew on?
Yeah, you, like, suck on it, right?
Yeah, you suck on it, yeah. You suck the suckle.
Maybe.
I mean, I say that
and it's inappropriate. yeah,
like
that's...
Like a tasty flower, you'd be walking to school and it'd be like, oh, man, it's a honeysuckle bush.
I'm sure that I have it. And I just, like, don't remember it, but I definitely couldn't tell you what it smells like.
We gotta get you more into flowers. You could put some honeysuckle at your house and you could do some landscaping. You have to go through and taste them all again.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's the advantage. There you go.
I liked this one a lot when I first started, but after that, it's like,
And there's also something to be said about your first glass of wine of the day.
Yeah.
There's something about that first sip. It's just
very
magical. Special.
By the way, I intentionally did not drink any wine this morning for breakfast.
What? What?
Because it's Monday,
Thank
you
for
know?
Avoiding,
Monday's
yeah.
like, I get to, like, have. Whatever
breakfast
I want. Well, I had a late breakfast, first of all. It wasn't like 7 in the morning. It was like 10. It was a brunch.
Man, I didn't drink any wine yesterday.
I drank 2 glasses at lunch because I needed it. I was like, oh, I'm never going to get through this. I really like... I like Anne's. I always like Marsan, Roussan.
Roussan.
Roussan. It smells the same. I would like some Roussan, please.
Yeah. I just like how it smells. Reminds me of, like, honey toast. That's kind of weird, but, like, where the honey is kind of, like, crystallized.
Yeah.
Not, like, syrupy. It's, like, a little crunchy.
All right. I like the blend.
Esprit de Table Blanc.
That. I like...
She's like, I'm not going to try to say it.
I like the Roussan.
Roussan.
Roussan. I know. I like the Marsan. See, they go together. Or is it Marsan?
It's Marsan.
Marsan.
You like the Anse.
I like the Anse.
It's however you want to say it, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be Anse.
I think it's probably easier. I think my least favorite was the Viognier. And I think part of that is that it just, like, smelled really sweet to me.
Hmm. Do you mind handing me the V&A again? Because I remember. I think it's the...
Do you want to trade me places?
No, it's okay.
I really like the Grenache Blanc. And the Pico Blanc, I really liked that at first. I didn't like it after, like, the other ones as much. It was, like, it was just kind of, like, too light after having so much. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely, like, I would want to take a bottle of that camping and have it with breakfast. Mm-hmm. It'd be perfect.
I really like the Viognier, actually, because I like the acidity at the back end. It kind of, like, feels like it's cleaning my palate a little bit.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me. I didn't not like it.
But you're just it was just my,
if I was like putting them in order, that one would be like my least favorite of these. But I would drink every single one of them anytime. But yeah, I think what was your favorite?
I think the Marsan and the Viognier. I like the blend as well, but I liked tasting everything individually.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Because those two are the grapes that aren't included in the Chateauneuf du Pape region.
Okay.
More. So it's funny that those happen to be your two faves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you picked out like the only two that aren't in the blend.
I like the blend. So, yeah. So I like all the other ones mixed together. And then I like these two by themselves. I don't know, just telling you what I like.
I'm just judging you, not criticizing you.
All right. Well, I already know I like the Cunois since I bought a bottle of it last time.
Yeah, I already drank mine.
Yeah, and there
do
you go.
Do you just take your wine home and, like, drink it right away?
Oftentimes, yes, I do. Like,
I have not even touched it.
You have more than me.
Yeah.
And but what happens is... All the wine that, like, I have right now, especially, is really, really heavy. Mm. And it's been warm and sunny, and, like, I want lighter reds. So then I'm like, oh, well, I don't have any, so I'm just going to drink this one that I do have.
Yeah.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, Cunois definitely falls into the category of a lighter red.
Yeah.
Not about that.
No, it's nice.
So with this one, is like, if I wanted to have a chilled red, would this be a good... type of wine for that?
It's 100% absolutely. So what you're looking for with a chillable red is fruit forward, light bodied red. And so you can do that with Cunois, you can do that with Grenache as well. You can do it with like fruit forward Pinots, a perfect example. Anything made in a Beaujolais style, carbonic maceration, so Gamay.
That is really good.
Yeah.
There's even winemakers in the new world that are doing Cunois in a carbonic macerated style, which is pretty good. It's pretty fun.
I
was just checking out like the
too many to pick from. Like that's the hard part. Like I go to like a wine shop and I'm just overwhelmed because give me one of everything. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's why you go wine tasting.
It's true. Yeah. I feel like there should be a job. Like I want to hire somebody. And I'm going to be like, here's however much money. And I want them to go buy me wine and then, like, tell me the order to drink it in. Like, give me seasonal wine. Like, give me summertime wine that's like that, light, easy drinking, and I can have it chilled. And, like, put it in a box. Here's your summer wine. And then, like, here's your fall. And, like, you know, tell me what to drink and when to drink it.
Well, I think, like, there are some wine shops that are doing, like, wine clubs that are set up that way. There are some websites like that that do wine clubs, essentially, the same kind of way. Like, you answer questions. But, I mean, like, there's the same questions for everybody, so...
And that seems like it's going to be really, like, mass-produced wine.
Yeah.
I want it, like, specific to here.
So you want a wine director for your life?
Yes.
Okay. Well, dream big. You just keep tasting wine, and then you can do it for yourself.
Or, like, maybe with the expiration dates I think should be on wine, they should also put, like, suggested weather.
Suggested
like, how it... What
suggested
would,
pairing, including
like,
food, weather, occasion.
Suggested season.
Okay.
Like, here's your... Like, drink this in spring by 2035. Done. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Spring is different in a lot of places, though. So, like, California spring.
Well, Central Coast spring. Like, you can't please everybody, and I'm looking to please me.
What if it described, like, the exact situation?
That would be perfect.
Drink this at 85 by the pool.
Yes. That's what I've been trying to get you to do on the podcast.
I know.
What do you pair this wine with?
That is, that's my... Like, that's my dream.
I asked her that, and she says, this wine pairs with my couch and the Real Housewives. And I was like, okay.
It does. Sounds like, that would be a good wine for that. Easy drinking, not so complex that you have to, like, think about it. It doesn't need food. It's like a perfect lounging any day of the week wine.
Yeah. Different temperatures you can
Different temperatures. Oh, you're hot? Stick it in the fridge. Like, that's a prime example of it. And I just, like, that is a legit time. How, like, so many people are going to come home from work, put on stretchy pants, and watch TV for a bit, and want to have a glass of wine.
Pairs well with stretchy pants and TV.
See? Catching on.
I like it. I think it's catchy.
One day, I'm going to, like, be at a winery in Paso, and it's going to say that on the bottle, and I'm going to be like, where's my, like, royalties for this, because that was my idea. My idea.
Trademark.
I've been telling you guys this for years. What is this?
Pinot Noir. I should have made you guess. Come on.
Mm.
So, is this flight set up the same way as the white was, to kind of, like, individually taste, like, the single?
So, it is. The only difference being, like, Pinot is not in our, in the blends that you're going to be trying. And that's just because we're waiting to release the Grenache.
I like that a lot.
For till about next month.
Okay.
But typically you get the Cunois, Grenache, Morbed, and then the blend of those grapes.
So you guys have a really extensive list of, like, wines you make.
Right.
So how do you decide, or how do you, when do you change what you're pouring? Like, if I want to try every single wine you make, do I have to come in, like, every 3 months because that's when it changes and I do it all again, or?
You know, it's just when the wines are getting released. We try to release a couple every month, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you just have to keep coming back.
All right.
Yeah,
that works. That works.
All right.
What's this?
Guess.
Don't make me guess. I'm not good at guessing.
I'm
going to
make you guess.
Is it a wine I know?
Yeah.
They're all wines I like.
That's too leading. Also, you like all the wine.
True. I feel like there's so much pressure. It's very fruity. Is it a Grenache?
No.
Oh, is it a Mourvèdre?
Yeah.
Nice.
I like how you said it, and you're like, no, I know what it is. I got a lot of Jolly Rancher.
I get that, too.
Like, it made my, like, mouth, like, water, because I was like, oh, I want a Jolly
like
Rancher
Like a cherry
now.
One.
Yeah.
And Mourvèdre is our most important variety at Thomas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's,
how come?
Because our sister winery, Chateau de Beaucastel, their main variety is Mourvèdre as well. And since we're making wine in a similar style, it just made sense for that to be our largest planted grape. It's also the most structured of the Rhone varieties, so it helps the wines age really nicely. And we've seen that success at Beaucastel with their wines and how they age. So we make it our flagship grape and kind of work with that same model.
Okay. Can we buy their wines here?
No. So we do. They do want to keep a hard line that it's like, this is Tavelis. That is Beaucastel.
Oh, okay.
We can get you in contact with vineyard brands, and they can find the bottle for you.
Okay.
Definitely a decision they made early on.
So what is some of, like, the history behind Tablas Creek? Like, so did they have the winery Beaucastel first, and then, like, the same people came over, or?
Right, so, yeah, it's, Tablas Creek is a partnership from between the Perrin family, who own Chateau de Beaucastel, as well as multiple vineyards throughout the Southern Rhone. Between them and their importers, Robert Haas, who started Vineyard Brands. One of the early importers of Burgundies and Bordeaux post-World War II. And they were traveling...
I did it the wrong order, sorry.
Yeah, you skipped one.
I skipped one. I was like, man, this tastes like it has way more Moved than this says.
Right. Yeah, so they were traveling in California in the early 70s, and Jacques Perrin pointed out that we weren't really paying attention to any Rhones in California, but there was all these Mediterranean pockets where the variety could flourish. And well, they said, well, maybe one day we'll do it. And in 1989, they settled here on Paso Robles because of the limestone soils, the Mediterranean diurnal temperature shifts,
yep,
hot days, cold nights, mm-hmm, and the adequate rainfall to dry farm.
Ooh, I like that a lot. What's this?
I'm not going to say it.
That's on goblet, and that's a...
I was like, in goblet.
Yes.
It is in a goblet.
Yes.
I would like that.
That's actually perfect timing for a segue, because I mentioned that we wanted to dry farm, because mm-hmm, it's actually illegal to irrigate in Chattanooftepop.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
If you irrigate your lot,
actually,
you can't put
Chattanooftepop. Actually, I think I did know that. I think I read that.
Oh, interesting. Mm. So, is there, like, why is it illegal? Is that just...
It's kind of
because it's France, and they're like, how difficult can we make it to grow wine?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's robbing the grape of the terroir. It's cheating, okay, in a way. You're not truly showing the terroir of the land. Mm-hmm. And that being the most prestigious region of the Rhone Valley, it has to be all about the terroir. You can irrigate, you just can't put Chateauneuf-du-Pape on your label anymore.
Okay.
And while we don't fall under that same regulation, we do try to dry farm as much as we can.
Yeah.
And we're at 35% dry farmed. And all of our new plantings that are scheduled are all scheduled to be dry farmed, kind of going forward. And that bottle that you just had, the Ongoublet, is our only bottle that's made exclusively with dry farmed lots.
Very cool.
It's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool.
That is my favorite of all of them so far.
Yeah.
Terroir. Just coming through.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and you're going to get a really good comparison now because you're getting into our flagship, the Esprit, which they're mostly the same grapes. You know, Esprit is Mourvèdre, Grenache, Syrah, Cunoise. Ongoublet is Mourvèdre, Grenache, Syrah, Cunoise, and Tannat.
I like Tannat.
Mm-hmm. That's a fun grape.
Ooh, I like that a lot too.
I know. I really like it.
The Esprit is our flagship, so the story of Esprit is... Basically, that's the bottle that they came here to make when they envisioned maybe we could grow Rhone varieties in California somewhere in the New World and it could be successful. It was with this whole concept of making that exact bottle. And that 2016, many of the vintages have really shown it, but 2016 truly does.
Yeah, I'm excited to try the 2014.
That is delicious. Is it always like that close? Like this one's barely different in the blend. So do you try to keep it like pretty... Percentages, thank you.
Right. So it's always Mourvèdre first, Cunoise last. Grenache and Syrah will swap places based on the vintage.
Okay.
So we're not trying to create the same wine year after year.
Yeah.
We are trying to create the same wine that causes the same effect, which that effect is wow.
Yeah.
As long as it's doing that, we're going to be happy with the blend.
Now, how long do you want me to age your red wines?
Well, Mourvèdre, and again, it comes down to it. If you like it young and you like that fruit-forward aspect, that 16 is pretty ready to go right now.
But, in your dream world, I'm going to take your wine home. I'm going to put it in my wine fridge. It's going to be, perfectly stored.
Yes.
When do you want me to drink it?
15 years.
What do you want me to be wearing? I'm just kidding. Stretchy pants or jeans?
Yeah. What room should I be?
Should I be watching Real Housewives or something deeper?
So 8 years, about 8 years in, your vinyl, the Mourvèdre really reaches its maturity. And that difference between 8 and 15 years, that's kind of the sweet spot. But we're also seeing these wines go for
really
20 years so far. That's all we've been able to test. 97 was our first vintage.
I feel like I get so excited when I have a bed that I drink it. I don't even know. I don't know if I have any saved downstairs because it's so good.
And you're like, oh, I drank it already.
I know
3 days later.
I know it's there and it's so delicious. And I'm like, man, I want some really good wine. And I know I love it. So it's, I'm so excited. So which of the reds was your favorite?
Yeah, I think
I need to taste them all again.
The
really?
Yeah, I really, really like it.
I think I liked the goblet.
I also also liked the omelet.
I'm going to rename everything. I'm going to be like, don't ever let those girls come back. They can't even say the right words.
Marsan.
I want Marsan. I want
Boigner and the goblet.
Like, let me just help you out. Let me dumb down your tasting flight. It's fine.
All right, any other ones you want to taste again?
I want to taste the last two again.
So, do you mind talking about the biodynamic aspect a little bit? Because, like, I know the, like, crazy part that you hear about, like, burying the skulls in the vineyard and, like, yeah, the all cow that. Horns, yeah. But, like,
whoa, that is actually real?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, bury the horns.
I don't know very much about it. I just know it's a really good thing and you want that in your wine. That's what I know. Yeah.
So, like, what's the short and sweet version of, like, how does it affect the vineyard and the grapes and what are the benefits, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, biodynamics is it's creating a closed-loop ecological system in your farm. And you do that through biodiversity. You have absolutely no chemical additions, no pesticides, herbicides, anything like that. So how do you work the system without these additions?
Yes.
You use nature. So you have a different fruit tree planted for every acre of vines. And one tree, we've kind of gone over that. So we have over 200 fruit trees out there,
wow,
all different varieties.
That's cool.
You have wildflower plantings that attract beneficial insects, and they attack the insects that attack the vines. And so it kind of all works together.
Yeah.
You have owl boxes set up for pest control. You have cats also. We have a sheep. Mobile sheep herd is a big part of that too, since we can't add fertilizer of any kind.
Oh.
And so they go through in the dormant season and they weed through all the vines and also nurture the land at the same time.
Yeah. Because like when you garden. And, like, I know, like, every couple of years or whatever, you're supposed to, like, kind of, like, let the ground just kind of recover.
Yep.
So, with vineyards, how does that work? Because, obviously, you can't just, like, rip out vineyards every couple of years. So, is that just, like,
right,
a part of it as far as, like, having, you know, sheep coming through and, like, everything naturally?
Absolutely.
Occurring?
I mean, that's a big piece of it. And when blocks do get ripped out for one reason or another, the fact that the sheep get to go there and they just completely revitalize this land. It lays fallow for a couple of years and then you come back through and plant vines in really healthy soil.
Yeah.
And take off a lot faster.
But you bury horns.
Yeah, you do.
Let's go back to that.
Hard, yeah.
Let's circle back to the interesting part of this.
Right.
What does that do?
So you're actually stuffing the horns with cow manure and then burying them. We bury 200 horns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then you pull them out after 6 months, and it's basically absorbing all the nutrients of the soil. And you liquefy that into a prep. So biodynamics is all about different preps. And then you spray that out into the vineyard, and it's kind of this revitalization process that you want to do.
I think that's amazing. But, like, what twisted mind came up with that?
His name's Rudolf Steiner.
Who's like, you know what I think that's going to work? I'm going to put cow poop in a horn and bury it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Then liquefy it. Like, who, I want to know that person so bad because it's, like, fascinating that people can come up with stuff like that because I can't, like.
Yeah, it was all based on Rudolf Steiner, and I would definitely read more into it. I'm by no means an expert, but I've had my limited research done. And he was essentially a philosopher that people talk to about how do we reinvigorate our soils back in like the 20s after the introduction of monoculture. And he went back through history and looked how people tended to the land, and he figured out these different techniques. Like the burying the horns wasn't something that he came up with. It was something that was actually used in native farming practices.
Okay.
Just
I think
like
that's
utilizing
great.
So
like,
yeah.
I just I love knowing people who are like a little cuckoo enough to think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his whole thing was like, I'm not a farmer. I just did the research and put together this lecture on this is what people have done historically.
Yeah.
Humans have done historically, and if we do this again, we won't need herbicides, we won't need pesticides, we won't need chemicals anymore.
Yeah, I wish more people would like jump on that. Like,
no, that's true. Because I mean, like, people have been farming for a long time.
Yes.
They didn't have all of the conventional stuff that we use now.
Right. Exactly.
Fascinating. You learn something new every day.
True.
That is definitely my something new.
Yeah, biodynamics is definitely picking up in momentum.
Yeah.
And it's great to see.
It is. I think it's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I genuinely hope more people do it for our Earth's sake.
I tried this Pinot again, and I really enjoyed it. So Pinot is kind of like a something different on the tasting menu. Is there like a, I noticed it said that it's celebrating Bob's passion for Burgundy, so like is it just like a sentimental wine?
It is, yeah, absolutely. So its name is Full Circle because Bob's life, it really started with him importing wines in Burgundy. Kind of a similar thing. It was always his favorite grape, Pinot Noir. Always thought it would be cool to have his own vineyard one day, and he finally got that opportunity with Thomas Creek established. At his house, which is in the Templeton Gap district, it's a little bit cooler, more Burgundian. Mm-hmm. They planted 2.5 acres, 2.3 to be exact, of Pinot Noir, so he could wake up in the morning and look out on his own.
That's really good.
Pinot,
see you next day.
Pinot Noir is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always that way. I just the past couple of years, I've just really fallen in love with it.
I like Pinot sometimes. Like, sometimes I feel like it's too, like, fruity, maybe, and I don't like that so much.
Well, is there anything else that you guys would like the public to know, or like special offerings that you do, or
best
times to visit?
Best times to visit. I mean, right now is perfect. It's harvest. It's full blown. We do tours every day, 10 o'clock and 2:30, 10:30 and 2 o'clock. And because right now the harvest is going on, so you get to see everything at work, get to smell those fermenting grapes, which is one of the most beautiful smells in the world.
Yeah.
That's cool that you guys do that even during harvest.
Yeah, she's like, it would almost be
better for you to like, oh, we don't do it during harvest.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, you know, you have to plan a little bit around the cellar team and what they're doing and make sure everything's safe in there. And there's always a way to get a peek in on the scene, so.
Nice. Cool.
It's a great time to come out. We also offer a collector's vertical tasting flight, similar to this, but it's actually a vertical of our Esprit de Tavis, those last wines that you had.
Ooh.
Okay.
So we go through 6 vintages to show you the ageability of these wines.
Very
right
cool.
Now, we're at 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, and 11. Pretty soon we'll be moving up. The 17 just came out, so, you know, in 17.
That's 16. Cool. That's very cool.
What is your favorite vintage out of that spread?
Out of that spread?
Right now.
You know, 16 is pretty phenomenal. 16 is the one also that I mentioned that was the first harvest where we had started farming the entire vineyard biodynamically.
Yeah.
You can see the difference. It's pretty crazy. I really like the 13, though. I think that vintage, it's just really cool. Really, like, lush, beautiful. It's still young, but it's getting more towards that mature stage. I think 13 is pretty killer.
Cool.
They're all good, though.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend that. We do that tasting daily as well. On 2 time slots.
By reservation only?
By reservation. I recommend getting a reservation.
Yeah.
You can always come in. There will always be room at the bars, especially if you're coming in on a weekend or a busy weekend where Friday, Saturday, Sundays. It's going to be full in there. It's going to be packed. Just get your own table, kind of like we've done here today.
This is beautiful out here.
Outdoor on the patio with the fan.
I wish more people could go wine tasting during the week because it's so different.
It is.
Like, weekends can get a little wild, and sometimes, like, that's fun, but if you really want to focus on the wine, it's kind of nice to, like, to be able to just, like, take your time and not feel like you're taking time away from someone else.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes on the weekends, I feel like it's like, okay, here's your wine, here's your wine, here's your wine. Go tell
tough.
Them what you want to buy.
Yeah.
Like, move it along. But, like, during the week, even if it is just, like, at a bar, like, it's always more casual. People are, like, you get more about the wine and more, like, one-on-one attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
I like.
Absolutely. And we prefer that, too. You know, we want to give you the best experience we can.
So are you guys open every day?
Every day.
And what time do you open?
We open 10 o'clock to 5
o'clock. Oh, wow, 10
That's,
to 5.
Yeah.
Man, you guys
are
doing
hours.
It.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it. Yeah. We're out here.
Which is probably perfect, actually. You figure you're this far out. If you started at 10 and, like, worked your way back towards town, that would be a nice day.
That's true.
It would. We could map a whole trail.
We could. That's
really good.
The whole, yeah.
It's the whole point.
It's the whole point of this. That's what started this.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
Cool. I don't think I have... Oh, I do have one last question. How many cases do you guys produce each year?
25 to 30,000.
Ooh, that is a lot of wine.
And we got a new press this year, new to us. It's a huge press, and so we're up to 3 presses, so should be up in that number. We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Wow.
We have the acreage and the fruit, too, and we're continually planting more and more. We have a 150-acre lot that we purchased in 2011. We're going to plant 60 acres of it, leave 90 natural, and we're planting 10 acres at a time. As soon as all that starts going into production, our caseload's going to go up.
So, I had a question and it left me.
I've got one. So, we can obviously buy the wine here.
That was my question!
But where else can we get it? Like, are you guys in restaurants?
I know you can get some of it at Vons.
Wine shops.
Right. Vons, wine shops. You're looking at more our blends. So, the Patillon de Tablis, Cote de Tablis, Esprit de Tablis, both the red and the whites. Mm-hmm. Or most of our distribution wines.
Okay.
Most of the wines that you try today are not, you're not going to find too often. Mm-hmm. Maybe more locally. We do distribute to all 50 states. And 40% of our allocated wine is distributed.
Cool.
Okay.
But it's most, a third of that distribution is within California. So.
Now, are there any wines that you can for sure only buy here?
Yes.
Lots of them. All right. You don't have to do the whole list. I was just curious.
So any of the ones that aren't in the...
Right. Well, one I will
but
tell
if
you...
But there's like some that are at wine shops, the wine shop might have like more than Vons would or something like that.
Yeah. And even Vons, I wouldn't count on that around the country. That's more of like the local because it's right here.
The Vons and Atascadero.
Right. The Vons.
I have definitely
the
seen.
The Esprit is there. Yeah. Before I worked here, I bought Esprit in that Vons. Yeah, absolutely. One is the Ongoblet. I'll mention that you definitely cannot find that outside of distribution. That's one of our wine club exclusives.
Yeah, it's limited.
So I can't even buy that one.
Well, you can if you do this tasting experience. So through the Seed of Flight, more wines become available to you.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
That's really good to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
But I couldn't
You can only buy one unless you become a member and then you can buy 4.
I couldn't
say it like it's a bad thing.
I couldn't come in next month and be like, where's that goblet wine? I can't buy it then. I can only buy it when you do this tasting.
Correct.
Man, that's good. That's a good way to get people. Mm-hmm. Somebody's thinking.
It's a solid wine.
Yeah, that one was delicious. I think that one was my favorite.
So is the limit because you guys just don't make a ton of it?
It's very small production. Yeah. Very small production. Most high quality dry farmed lots.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what a lot.
I don't think so. I mean, we didn't talk a lot about the winemaking practices, but obviously you're doing organic, biodynamic in the vineyard.
Yeah.
How does that translate into the winery?
Yeah, so we're a terroir-driven philosophy,
yeah.
Which means low intervention. We want to say 90% of the wine is made in the vineyard.
Okay.
And we do native fermentation and then just kind of guide it along.
Yeah.
Age in neutral oak, mm-hmm. mostly. We cycle in 2% new oak a year, but the main focus is large format neutral.
Yeah.
Stainless as well as concrete fermentation. So multiple formats going on.
Go for it.
We think that brings in complexity as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it also showcases the winemaker's ability because if you're kind of letting go of some of that control, then how do you naturally guide it to whatever flavor profile you're looking for? Or just let it say what it wants to say that year, right?
That's what it's about. It's about what was 2013 about?
Yeah.
We want the wine to tell us, not us to tell others.
We want it to be this way.
Yeah, so pretty much any time you talk to the cellar crew, and you're like, man, this is good wine, good job. And they'll say, and talk to the vineyard crew.
That's cool.
That's really nice. It seems like everybody, at least with our two experiences here, everybody who we've interacted with has been great. Super friendly, mm-hmm. nice, outgoing, knowledgeable. Just very inviting. Not
super
at all.
Too.
Sometimes it's, it's okay, yeah, we know you make wine. You're very cool. Okay, yeah. But here it seems like everyone we've talked to has just been so down to earth and friendly, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Central Coast has always been known for.
Welcome back.
Welcome. That place is great.
It was really great. I'm really glad that we got to do the seated private tasting.
I feel like that is 100% the way to go.
Yeah.
I liked that. Not only did I like the experience better than last time, I liked the wine better.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time, yeah. I felt like some of the wine was good. Not all of it was my favorite. I was really pleased with what I bought. But mm-hmm. like this time, I feel like I genuinely enjoyed all of the wines more.
Yeah. You know, and it's always hard to say, like, different days, different time of day.
Different.
We had already been tasting wine. I think that's a big part of it.
For sure.
So I definitely enjoyed the wine that we got to try today. I really liked the setup of, like, trying all of the single varietal wines first and then getting some, like, blends in there, too.
I was really glad that he suggested we do red and white and not the mix. Because otherwise I would have been like, oh, I'll take the mixed. And I feel like I would have missed out on...
I didn't even realize that they had so many wines that they could do a whole flight of white and a whole flight of red. I only did
because of the... Their list is huge.
Yeah. No, it is. So that was really cool. Had a really great experience as far as like learning more about Tallboss Creek. I think the first time we came, we did learn about a little bit of the history and everything, but it was more condensed.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy getting to sit down and really learn about
it. Well, there's a big difference between someone who's hosting a bar and someone who is sitting down at the table with you.
Yeah, for sure. Because they're dedicated to you and like, you know.
I forgot to ask how much that tasting cost.
Oh, I did forget to do that too. I think it is put like published online.
Okay. Yeah. So if I had to guess, I would say 40 or 50.
I think it's like 40 or 45.
Which I thought was, I think when you're getting six wines and if there's two of us and you can try all 12 is well worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
And today was like perfect sitting out on the little patio.
Yeah.
And...
So you guys come out to Tallboss Creek.
Yes.
Whether you do the private seated tasting or not, there are some great wines to try. I would even say, like, I don't know if they do this, but you know, like, some wineries, if you ask, like, oh, do you have this open? Like, if you heard, like, we talked about the Moved a lot, so you could even ask them while you're here at the bar, like, do you have the Moved?
And the goblet.
Well, I don't know if they'd let you do the goblet because...
No, but I was thinking, like, you were saying how good the Moved was, so my mind went to the goblet. I would pay whatever they want to do this tasting just to taste that wine. I thought that wine was fantastic.
En gobelet.
The en gobelet, or as you're like, I heard this podcast and this girl, like, she called it the goblet. They're going to be like, oh my God.
Hashtag the goblet.
They're going to be like, this is the last time we ever host those people ever again. Like, they're never invited back. We're going to get, like, an email, a cease and desist email because I can't say the word.
We can say the name of it's the winery, just though. Not,
it's fun. But yeah, I would
in goblet.
Like, come do whatever tasting you have to try that wine.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, I'm disappointed I didn't buy a million of them.
Yeah, it was very, well, you only could buy one. But.
But still.
So, great experience that we had there today. Yes. We want to thank Tallboss Creek for hosting
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Ian for leading us through the tasting, taking the time. We know it's like a busy time of year with harvest and everything, so
I'm like overwhelmed trying to think about which categories this is going to fit into because I feel like multiples.
Yes, yeah, solid stops, impress your friends.
Wine nerds. I feel like wine nerds. This tasting would fall under the wine nerd category because they get into the farming.
Dog friendly. We didn't ask about, like, picnicking because...
No, there was a little sign.
Oh, okay.
Like, at our table, because it said reserved, and then it said, like, if you want to enjoy your picnic, please go to the tables below
There you
us.
Go. Picnic so, stops. Picnic. This is hitting a lot of boxes for us.
Yeah.
So, you guys, come check them out. Check them out. You can even taste some of, like, the little grapes on the patio.
Yeah, we did. They were delicious.
Very good.
I still prefer drinking them.
All right. Well, you guys, that's it for this week. We hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you did, subscribe, drop us a line, like, review,
tell us where you want us to go. Like, we're always picking these places and it's like just once somebody be like, go here for me or come check out our wines. Like, give us a little push.
Yeah, for sure. We'd love to hear from you. So get at us on Instagram at Central Coast Uncorked, or you can shoot us an email, info@centralcoastuncorked.com. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.